the church. Hallelujah. I thought she was giving me this. We're stopping the song signal, but I think she was just getting into the song, so I might have ended her a little early there, but that's okay. It's a good time to be at church this Wednesday night. I feel like, I don't know, how many of you felt like after Sunday morning you went home feeling revived? I felt revived, amen. I felt like, you know, we had awesome worship service, but we also, the preaching of the word from Pastor Roy, I went home changed. It was practical, but man, was it like very, very nuts and bolts, like, hey, I'm doing something that needs to be changed in my life, and I never had ever been confronted in some of those areas, and I'm just thankful tonight's going to be the second of that series in Boundaries, and I'm excited for that. I feel revival in the air at Calvary Gospel Church. Amen. Man, I feel like that God's going to do something, and I'm just excited. So we want to welcome all of our guests here to Calvary Gospel Church. We believe this is one of the best churches in the world. If you've been, if this is your first time here, we have a little card we'd like you to fill out and give to one of our ushers, or you can drop it off at the kiosk in the back. And we have a small gift card for your visit here. But more so, we'd like to just be able to serve you better. We can maybe come to teach a Bible study at your home, or we can engage you with one of our ministries here at Calvary Gospel Church. We have a number of connection groups you can be a part of as well. We're just so glad you're here. Why don't you go ahead and be seated? We do have some giving options here at Calvary Gospel Church that you can see those up on. Oh, I lost my projection person. But there's four ways to give at Calvary Gospel Church. You can give by mail. You can send your offering into 5301 Commercial Avenue. You can also give give in person here at the clear box that's in the back. You can also give if you want to send in, online. I forgot the online one. So you can give online at cgcmadison.org/giving, or you can give on the mobile app, which is my favorite church. You can just download Church Center app, put in your information, and get started giving online that way. And so thank you all for giving and supporting Calvary Gospel Church. We have a few announcements to make. This Sunday, we have a men's service at 6 p.m. right here in the main sanctuary. And so my speaker contacted me. We only had one speaker for the night, and they're not able to be there. And so I'm going to change up our format a little bit. And this Sunday, we're going to have a men's prayer, a prayer service, and a vision casting service for our next year. October is typically around Calvary Gospel Church and around even most churches we start planning the next year. So we're going to cast some vision for the next year and come together and pray, and afterwards we'll go to Culver's, all right? And so Sunday, October 30th, this is the very special day. It's going to be our Holy Ghost Sunday. All right, and so this will be a normal scheduled day where we'll have normal classes at 10 a.m., but at 11 a.m. service will be our Holy Ghost Sunday service. So grab some of the CGC invitation cards by the reception desk and invite some people to come. Sister Vernon will be our speaker, and so we're excited for that. Now, she has recently hurt her foot pretty badly, and so it very well could be that she teaches her lesson and preaches her sermon from a seated position, but that's going to be fine because she's so awesome and has some great of illustrations. It really doesn't matter if she's standing or sitting. We're just glad that she'll be here with us. And just keep her in your prayers. They have a very busy and full schedule at lots of churches all across the United States that they do these types of services at, and we want to keep them in our prayers so that she has a quick healing. And while we're talking about prayer, why don't we all stand and go to the Lord in prayer right now? I didn't have any special requests turned in, but if you have a special need that you have in your life, would you just lift your hands to the Lord right now, believing that God can touch you right now, right where you are? Let some of that revival atmosphere that's here in this church just touch you at your home life, touch you at your work, touch you this week at your job, wherever it is, whatever the need is, God can touch you. Lord, we ask you, Lord, right now, you'll just enter into the situations, oh God, that are presented here by faith with lifted hands, oh God. We ask you to touch, Lord God, those that are in need financially, those that are in need physically, those that are in need spiritually, God. We ask you just to move upon this congregation. Touch your children now, Lord. Lead them and guide them, Lord, to all truth tonight, God. We ask you to bless them with a lesson tonight that will be life-changing and revolutionary to their entire walk with you, Lord Jesus, that they would be free from bondage, Lord God, but they'd be liberated, Lord God, to be able to move and to work for you, God, and that their ministries would be greatly increased, Lord. We just praise you, Lord. We give you all the glory and all the honor, Lord Jesus, right now. We just lift your name, Lord, on high, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. and hallelujah. You have done it all for me, and death could not hold you down, for you
Such a sweet, sweet presence of the Holy Ghost in this place. Let's just raise our hands one more time and just worship and thank the Lord. Lord, I'm so thankful. God, I'm thankful, Lord, that you are here. Thankful, Lord, that I can feel your presence in such a powerful way. You are such an awesome God. You are such a good God, a mighty God. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You can be seated this evening. We started on Sunday a series on setting spiritual boundaries. And I think as far as myself personally, the biggest struggle that I have had in my life is boundaries. And whether they be physical boundaries or spiritual boundaries. And by ignoring boundaries, sometimes we can get ourselves into trouble. And we can get ourselves in trouble with our brothers and sisters by ignoring their boundaries. And so we were reading, we started our text for this series, this Psalms, verse chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord." Now, I like to look at Scripture, and I look at it in a very personal manner. So when it says his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, I can read this as my delight is in the principles of the Word of God. Because that's what the law of the Lord is. It's following after the principles that we find in his Word. So he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. This is the unique thing about God, is God says, okay, I have some principles I want you to follow. And so we follow those principles, and God says, here's a reward for following, or here's the blessing that comes with the principle. Almost every principle we find in the Word of God, there is a blessing that comes along with that principle. And that's where we need to understand how this works. And for he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, making reference to if you follow after the law of the Lord. Your life will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit, or bringeth forth your fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does or whatsoever you do is going to prosper. And that's a very powerful, powerful blessing right there, if we follow after the principle that God states in verses 1 and 2. So we started a series on Sunday covering the principles of setting boundaries, both physical boundaries and spiritual boundaries. We talked about the need for boundaries in our lives. We have boundaries in the physical side of our lives. We have fences. A fence can be a boundary. We can have signs that say no trespassing or keep off the grass. We can go to the zoos. We talked about this, and you can go into a zoo, and there's all kinds of boundaries in a zoo. You can go through neighborhoods, and there's manicured yards or hedges. Sometimes you have hedgerows, and a hedgerow or a tree line can be, this is where my property ends and someone else's property begins. So boundaries in the spiritual world are just as real, but they're often much harder to see as well as harder to define. So boundaries define your soul and help you to guard it and to maintain it. Boundaries define us. They tell us what is me and what is not me. Boundaries show us what we are responsible for and help us define what we are not responsible for. So when I look at my yard and I see the tree line around my yard and I know where my lawn ends and where the neighbor's field begins, and it tells me, because there's a boundary there, that I'm responsible for everything on this side of the line and my neighbor's responsible for everything on the other side of the line. Boundaries define your soul, help you guard to maintain it. They define what is me and what's not me. It shows me where I end and someone else begins. And it talks about boundaries show us where we are responsible for, and they also help us define what we are not responsible for. So understand that I am not responsible for your marriage. I am not responsible for your finances, and I am not responsible for your family. And as a parent, the husband and the wife, your family is your responsibility. We said this on Sunday, and we as your church family, as we look around and we see our church family, and our church family, we're here to support one another, to help one another, and to assist when necessary, but you must carry your own load. And each one of us is responsible for our own stuff. So that means I'm not responsible for your finances or your checkbook if it is overdrawn. If you do not have any funds in your savings account, it is not my responsibility to make sure that you have a savings account. That's something that is yours. That is your load to carry. And God never designed us or intended for us to carry each other's loads. And we're supposed to let people bear the consequences. And this is a hard thing to do sometimes, but we are supposed to let people bear the consequences of their actions. And now understand something, that a load, and we talked a little bit about this on Sunday, a load is different than a burden, all right? Think of a load as something which is manageable, something which is on your daily to-do list. And I go home and I have to take out my trash, my garbage. That is a load. That is not a burden. And it's my load. It's not yours. It's not your responsibility. So understand, a burden is something that has been placed upon us without any wrongdoing of our part. We talked about this. This is a little repeat from Sunday, like autism or Alzheimer's, perhaps, or growing up in an abusive home. A load, on the other hand, is something that we pick up on the road of life and we've chosen to carry. We talked about Galatians 6:5, and it tells us, reading Galatians 6:5 and 6, that for every man shall bear his own burden, and each one should carry their own load. Now, I kind of ran out of time a little bit on Sunday, and I may have rushed this a little bit. For many in the church, these two verses can be very confusing in terms of where personal responsibility begins and ends compared to how we serve and relate to one another. So I've struggled myself, knowing when at times to step in and help someone if they are being irresponsible. I hate to say it, but not everyone that attends church is responsible in every area of their lives. And the author here, Paul, brings about a great distinction and insight into these verses. So let's look into this a little bit deeper tonight. The Greek word for burden means excess burdens, or a burden that are so heavy that they weigh us down. So that's talking about a burden. These burdens, we can compare them to like a boulder, a large rock that can crush us, and we shouldn't be expected to carry such a large rock or boulder or burden by ourselves. It's going to crush us. It's going to break your back. We don't have the ability to do that sometimes on our own, and we need help with our brothers and sisters in time of crisis and tragedy in our lives. On the contrast, we look at the Greek word for load. What does load mean? Load simply means cargo or the burden of daily toil. This word describes the everyday things that we all need to do every day. Now, we have to understand that these loads are like a backpack, perhaps. Backpacks are possible to carry. We sling it on and we throw it over our shoulder and we're off we go, and we are expected to carry our own backpack. If you've ever been on a man-up adventure or been on a hike, and everyone brings a backpack, and you get there, you shouldn't expect someone else to carry your backpack. It's your own load, and you carry your own backpack. So we're expected to deal with our own feelings and our own attitudes and our own behaviors, as well as the responsibilities in our families, in our marriages, and in our finances, in which God has given to each one of us, even though it takes effort. It's our backpack to carry. And what happens is problems arise when people act as if they're boulders, that their boulders are daily loads and refuse help. Or as if their daily loads are boulders that they shouldn't have to carry. The result of these two instances can either be perpetual pain or a constant source or a constant state of irresponsibility. Now, Galatians 6:7 tells us that God cannot be mocked, that a man reaps that which he sows. And I believe strongly in the principle of sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping can be a lot of things in principle. You can talk about witnessing, sowing and reaping. But we're talking here in this text, or we're talking here in this study, about sowing seeds of irresponsibility, and you are going to reap seeds of irresponsibility. So if you're irresponsible in your life, guess what? It's not my fault, and it's not my problem to fix it. It's yours. And that's where we have to understand where boundaries come in to play. We run our own race. I run my race, and you run your race. And I can't control how you run your race, and I can't control the obstacles or the burdens or the loads, the boulders or the backpacks that you carry. I can't control that. Only you can. And it's no one else's responsibility to control it but you. So we have to understand, we run our own race, not someone else's. We run our own race. So moving on into more of about boundaries, there's something else about boundaries that I have found out over the years, and that is, and follow me through, we're not supposed to compare ourselves to others. We have we live in a society where everyone has to compare themselves to someone else. What's someone else doing? You get on social media, and I don't like social media a whole lot. I've got my own issues with it, but you get on and there's people on social media and they're always wanting to compare themselves to other people. Understand something, that God will judge us, God will judge you and me upon his expectations of you and me. I will not be judged on God's expectations of Jerry Simmons. I will be judged on God's expectations of Roy Grant. And you will be judged based upon God's expectations on what God has given to you Too much is given, much is required. You will be judged accordingly. So we're not supposed to worry. And this is really hard in the society that we live in today. We're not supposed to worry about other people's opinions. Did you hear that? What other people think should not matter. It's listening to God's voice. You see, if we all listen to God's voice and do what God tells us to do, then unity would never be an issue. But the problem comes in when we hear God's voice, we listen to God's voice, we're collectively as a congregation listening to God's voice, but then we do our own things. You see, we need to test our own actions and rely on God. And perhaps most importantly, boundaries tell us our limits. Did you know that? Boundaries will tell you your limits, as well as tell others what our limits are as well. So when we look at boundaries, we talk about loads, we talk about burdens, we talk about running our own race, we talk about testing our own actions, relying on God, not comparing ourselves to others, not listening to every opinion that comes across. Boundaries tell us our limits. It tells me what I can and can't do, and it tells others what my limits are as well. This is why it's important that we set boundaries in our lives, because if you don't have boundaries, listen to me, if you don't have boundaries, someone else will set them for you. Trust me on this. I went for years without having boundaries, and guess what? Other people set them for me, and then I became frustrated because boundaries were set, and I didn't get a say in it. So remember, we did a series a little bit ago on Moses about when things go wrong, even if we do right. And picking up a little bit after our series, we read of a conversation that Moses had with his father-in-law, Jethro. Now, the Bible doesn't say a whole lot about Jethro other than this conversation, and I don't know a whole lot about him, don't know exactly his past. I don't know what kind of a schooling he had, but he seemed to be a pretty well thought out individual. So here we read a conversation that takes place between Moses and Jethro in Exodus chapter 18. So we're going to read this starting in verse 14. When his father-in-law saw that Moses was doing for the people, all that Moses was doing for the people, he says, "What is this you are doing for the people?" Question mark. Why do you sit alone as a judge while all these people stand around you from morning until evening? Moses answers and says, "Well, it's because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it's brought to me. And I decide between the parties, inform them of God's decrees and instructions." Moses' father-in-law, or Jethro, replies, "Well, what you're doing is not good." Basically saying, listen, this isn't working out for you, and it's not working out for the people. So he goes in and he starts to lay out a plan for Moses. What he's doing is he's actually giving Moses some boundaries, as well as Israel some boundaries. So when you look at this, he says, "You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. You're going to get frustrated, and they're going to get frustrated, and you're both going to go home frustrated and tired. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. This is not a backpack we're talking about here, Moses. This is a burden. This is a boulder. Listen to me now, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. So listen to me, Moses, my son-in-law. You got a boulder on your shoulder. You're trying to carry it, and God didn't design it to be this way. So listen to me, and God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. So teach them his decrees and instructions. Have a few classes and teach them something. And show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. So he's saying, you know what, Moses? You can take this and turn this around by setting up some boundaries. Some boundaries that protect you and some boundaries that protect Israel. And have them serve as judges for the people at all times and have them bring every difficult case to you. You're going to still be in the picture here, Moses. There's still going to be some difficult cases that you're going to have to take and solve. And the simple cases, let the other men that you appoint decide those simple cases. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. And if you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied. Now, I love that Jethro says, what you're doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. He's saying, Moses, you can't do everything. You've got to set some boundaries. And like Moses, you and I, we need boundaries for our time. We need boundaries for our space. We need boundaries for our finances. And we need boundaries for our relationship with others. Boundaries show us where the moral line is, and boundaries are also necessary to show us where we have transgressed. You see, if you don't have any boundaries in your life, you don't know sometimes if you've crossed a line because there's no boundary there. When you look at the word transgression, it's interesting. I didn't know this about the word transgression. It literally means to cross a limit, to break a law or a code of conduct. So moral boundaries allow us to make judgments about what is right and about what is wrong. Boundaries allow us to say, Brother Millen, what are you doing? That's not right, and we need to deal with it. You see, but if we have no moral boundaries, and we live in a world that has no boundaries, there's no moral boundaries, that's why everything is so messed up. What happens when there's no moral boundaries, we begin to fall into sin, thus enabling sin or immorality to get a foothold in our lives. And it's neither emotionally healthy or morally healthy, spiritually healthy to live without boundaries. And if we refuse to set boundaries, we allow wrong behavior to creep into our lives. And we enable people to act selfishly by covering up for their actions. See, we're seeing this happen right before our eyes today across our nation. We have an entire generation of people who have no moral compass. And because they have no moral compass, they have no moral boundaries. I want to do what I want whenever I want. I don't want to be told. I don't want to be shamed into being told that I'm wrong. You see, but God's, we cannot allow that spirit to creep into our lives, into our families, and into our church. See, we live in the world. We're not supposed to be of the world, but it's real hard not to be of the world when you live in the world. That's our challenge. That's our daily challenge. So we cannot allow this spirit to creep into our lives, and God's will is that we look more like Jesus Christ. I want to be like Christ. I want to be as Christ-like. I'm not perfect. I mess up. You know, we all mess up. We all do dumb things. We all say dumb stuff. We're human. We have humanity. We're part of us is spirit. Part of us is flesh. And our flesh sometimes just, it's our flesh. So I want to challenge you today in your families. Are your actions encouraging others to look more and more like Christ? Or are they covering up and enabling others to become less and less like Christ? We're going to get into this more. We're going to talk about anger, how anger enters into the picture of boundaries. But I'm not going to get into that tonight because of time. But are we running to God, or are we keeping God at arm's length? You know, we can be a Christian and still say we're Christian and keep God at arm's length. You say, God, this is my territory. You crossed the boundary here, God. Did you know that? We can do that. We can do that and not realize that we're doing it. Or are we running from him, or are we running to him? You see, if we aren't setting responsible, healthy, moral, Christ-like boundaries, it's quite likely that we'll be looking less and less and less like Christ. I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge our young people, especially. Set boundaries in your life. Determine what you are willing to do and not to do. And make sure your boundaries line up with principles in the Word of God. Because as I said, if you don't set those, your classmates will. Your boss, if you don't set boundaries, your boss will set boundaries for you. You'll be working overtime, and then it's overtime on Saturdays, and then it's overtime on Sundays, and then before you know it, you've lost that boundary. So I want to encourage you to set simple, responsible, healthy, moral, Christ-like boundaries by following these simple principles that we are laying out, and as how we can live our lives by God's design. I said this on Sunday. Adam and Eve crossed the boundary. They crossed the boundary. And because they crossed the boundary, look at the consequences of that and how it affects us today. So let's stand. If our musicians, our music team can come. I don't know about you, but when I get to heaven, I'm excited about streets of gold. And I'm excited about, they say, walls of jasper, and each gate in heaven is going to be one giant pearl. It's fascinating because the biggest pearl I've ever seen is probably about as big as a marble. But when I get to heaven, what I want to hear and see more than anything else is I want to hear my Jesus, and I want to see him speak it. I want to hear him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." I just want to hear him say, "Well done. You done good in spite of all the opposition that we come against.
I just want to hear my Jesus say, you done good. Welcome home. But in order to hear that, I have to do good. I have to be good. I have to set boundaries. So maybe tonight here, maybe this is something you've struggled with for a very long time. As I said, I struggled with boundaries. And it affected my life. It affected my marriage. It affected my finances. It affected my attitude. And we'll get into this next Sunday, but I became a very angry person. Angry at myself and angry at others. All because I refused to set proper boundaries in my life. So I want to open up this altar. If you're struggling tonight in any of these areas, maybe you feel like people always take advantage of you. You're always getting the short end of the stick. Maybe you have a blended family. We have a lot of blended families in this church. And there's always a boundary that's being pushed. And it's struggling and you're frustrated by it. I just want to encourage you.
Overwhelmed by the weight of
I just want to encourage you between now and Sunday, if there's any areas of your life where you need boundaries, write them down. Write them down. We're going to talk about on Sunday, we're going to start off talking about how anger, as I said, enters into the equation. Have you ever said no to someone and they got angry with you? Have you ever got angry with someone else because they said no? So we're gonna get into a little bit of that and how it equates or how it deals with boundaries in our lives and dealing with anger issues. So God bless you. Thank you so very much for coming out on this Wednesday night. And thank for our music team. God bless you all. And we will see you here on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. God bless you.